What's up, guys? To the first episode of 2020 of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And we've been absent for the past few months. Just a lot of things came up and we weren't able to record our top five list for 2019, which we want to do, so we're going to do it this episode. And there's also tons of stuff to talk about, like the one thing that Poppy called where Nicki Minaj said that she was done with rapping, and then what happened? She came out with a single.
Told you guys.
So much stuff to talk about, but we're going to get into this because this time, so last year, if you watched or heard our episode about our top five, we only had our top five songs, but this year, we're going to be doing our top five songs, rap songs, top five rap albums, and then our top five artists. And Poppy and I have actually very different tastes in rap and what we like, what we resonate with. And so it's going to be an interesting, I believe it's going to be an interesting list, each one.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and I'm actually really excited because this is exactly why I like doing this, is talking about the differences and just really understanding that people are just going to agree to disagree, or hopefully, I know I will. So we're going to have vastly, I think, very different lists. We might have one or two similarities in each category of the three, but overall, I think our top fives, aside from maybe one, will be vastly different.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with our top five songs of 2019. I'll go first. So it was hard to put these all in order, and at least the first number five and four might switch, and three, but the number two and one will be the same. But I'll start with the first one. So number five is going to go to DaBaby, and it's actually going to go to his song Intro. So in this one, I like songs a lot that are outside of like the normal, about talking about drug sex or something like that. Like this one, and DaBaby is interesting because I didn't like him when I first heard him. I was like, this guy is stupid. But actually, I started listening to his album, and this song just really got to me because he in his first verse, he just talks about basically what happened in his life, about his dad passing away at the same time that he was getting information that he's become a hit, he's been successful. So like all these like conflicting emotions. He talks about, you know, how he helped his friends or how he wasn't helping his brother to help him grow, talking about how, you know, his mom getting cancer. And so he made himself, you know, vulnerable in that song. And I really liked it because it's very, and he even talks about like his signature, like smile. Like he's like, even though I'm going through this, like I'm smiling, trying to, you know, play this persona. And I liked the way that DaBaby did that in the song Intro. I mean, most people probably think about, you know, Suge or probably Bop as like in there. But this one just resonated for me a lot more. So, yeah, and I love the chorus, not the chorus, the choir type music he has in the beat playing, and I really like that. So, yeah, that's basically, yeah, DaBaby Intro is my number five.
That is a good one. He had a lot of good music, actually, in 2019.
He did.
And just for clarification, I do have on one of these lists a song that came out in 2018, but remember that our criteria isn't necessarily it had to come out in 2019, it's just we discovered or stumbled upon it in 2019. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. If you hear a song, you're like, oh, that song's old. Well, I didn't come across it until 2019. So to start off my top five songs, I'm going to go with What to Do, which is funny because it released very, very, very late 2019, December 27th, 2019. It was on the Jack Boys album, and it's with Travis Scott. It's his little collective group.
Yeah.
And What to Do has like a very synthesized, like the typical Travis Scott psychedelic sound, and it's him and I forget the other guy's name, Troy Lovito. I don't know all of the Jack Boys names, but either way, it's those two talking essentially about their intoxication and just their experience with women sexually, which is what it just sounds nice, and it's slow. Again, it's kind of that psychedelic sound. It's very typical of what Travis Scott you normally would think of. But I like the execution. It's relaxing. It's almost calming in a way. And I can't help but sing to it. So that's my number five.
That's good. That's good. I gotta listen to that one. I think I heard you talk about it. But I need to listen to that one. My number four for this one, it goes to The Game. So he came out with this came out late. And so I was really, really contemplating of whether or not to put this on because it was really late. It's December or November, like late November, early December. I was debating on to put it on this list at all, just because I was like, is it too late? But I decided to put it on there. So I'll talk more about the album later, because it is going to show up again. But the song that I picked out from that album is called $500 Candles. And so this one is a really interesting song because it starts off with an interview. And I don't think it's him. I can't remember who it said it was. But in the interview, the guy is talking like, why are you a blood? Like, why are you this? And he's like, because, you know, I'm down for it. Like, but you had people die. He's like, yeah. He's like, but why did they die for it? So they died for the cause of being a blood. Like, it's really interesting. Like, he's talking about, and then he, like, in his song, he reminisces about when he first became a hit. He talks about, like, you know, he is, like, about being a thug, but he's not there to get people to get on his side. He's like, he says this line, he's like, I'm not waving that flag in your face, so I'm just telling you who I am. He talks about, like, just some old school stuff. Like, he talks about Summer Jam, and I'm like, oh, I remember Summer Jam.
What's the name of the song?
It's called 500 Candles.
Honestly, I don't think I've heard it.
$500 Candles. And there's a part where I really like the chorus. The chorus is kind of like, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's kind of, I guess, ominous. And like one of the lines that he says, whoever sings the chorus part, he says, $500 candles, will they mourn me when I'm gone? And just putting all these different, ideas of how he was as a rapper, what he did with Dre, and how he maintained this persona, even though, like he said, this line he says, like, you know, I have so much to live for. He's like, but I'm down to die, like, whenever it happens. So it's really interesting how he uses his contradictory ideas that he lives with both of them. And I think it fit this album that is, he says this is his last album. I mean, we'll see. I mean, a lot of people say a lot of stuff, so we'll see if this is his last album. But I think this was a really great song off his album, Born to Rap. So, yeah, that one's my number four.
Okay, my number four, What's Up Boy? Styles P. The Ghost, yeah. With Nino Man. And I've never heard of Nino Man, so I guess I don't know if he's new. I'm going to have to look into him a bit more. But Nitty Gritty New York type song. It's a beat that has like a sense of urgency behind mm-hmm. it, right? And the heavy, like the drums kicking. And it's just Styles P being a thug along with Nino Man just saying like, this is lyrical heroin. I'm about to get you out the Meadowlands or something like that. It's just typical LOX in your face. New York hood. Naturally, I love that stuff. That's the stuff I loved the most when I was growing up. So that's my number four for that easy, specific reason.
Okay, that's good. All right, number three for me. This comes as no surprise. It's J. Cole, Middle Child. So this song, the first thing that caught me, well, a few things. First, at first I thought the audio at least was too low when I first heard it. I was like, "What? Why is it so low?" But what got me again was the horns. Like, I think whenever you put some sort of brass instrument in there, it hooks you. And J. Cole, like I said, I've had issues with J. Cole, like, on his delivery on his songs. But this one was really good. It was, like, I always had my head bobbing into the song, into his flow. And the song's kind of self-explanatory more in the second verse where he talks about he's basically like a bridge of old rappers and new rappers. He says, I'm a little brother, but a big brother at the same time. He's like, I'm out here with, I can't remember who he names, like Lil Yacht or something like that. I can't remember who it was. And then he's like having lunch with Jay. And it's just a really great song. Again, I love what he puts out. I might criticize sometimes his delivery on it, but this was really great. The video, if you watch, is also interesting and has its own like interpretations of what he's trying to, invoke or what he's trying to tell people. So, yeah, really solid one, J. Cole, Middle Child, number three.
That's good. My number three, it comes from 2018, but it was released, I think, in November. Uh-huh. But it was from a Boogie with a Hoodie. That album, it had a song called Look Back at It.
Uh-huh.
And I like it because clearly he was influenced by Michael Jackson because he samples his flow from, like, Do You Remember the Time?
Yeah.
The way I walk and the way I talk. And he says that in the song, and then on the chorus he goes, brrrat. That, 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 that. Just like from, what's the song? It's
Remember the Time. Because he's like,
Remember the Time, yeah. And then You Rock My World is the one where he samples in the verse.
Okay, You Rock My World. Okay, great. With the one with Chris Tucker in the beginning.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, You Rock My World is the one where he samples during the verse when he's singing. And then on the chorus where he goes, that, 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 that's Remember the Time.
That's Remember
the
Time.
Michael Jackson does that. And literally for that. I mean, it's a great song to sing along to. And my brother, who's not necessarily the biggest hip-hop fan by any means, actually really even likes that song. So I think that kind of gives it staying power for me as well.
I think it's really smart when they do that. Like, it's not necessarily you're sampling everything. You just sample this one iconic part in the song, and people are like, I remember because of that.
Yeah, like when I heard, I'm like, he really is using the flow of You Rock My World. And You Rock My World is easily top three Michael Jackson song of mine.
I would say that, too. I think people give that album a lot of crap, but I love that song.
That song is just amazing. So for that reason, number three.
Okay, nice. All right, number two, this comes from a artist that I just found out about this year, and they came out with an album this year. So this it's a duo. So it's a little brother, and they came out with an album, and they have this song called Sitting Alone. This is a very introspective song, and it has like these nice, soft piano melody that's happening in the background. And there's these two stories that are being told. The first verse is that he's talking about how he misses like the old days, like when his friends would come up and like, you want to go party? He's like, yeah, let's go party. And the whole song is about, you know, they're reminiscing because they're sitting alone, thinking about these things. So that's like the first verse talking about what they miss about being young. And then the second one is almost the exact opposite, where he's talking about like, you know, my friend, his son graduated and he invites me out. And he's like, but there's two graduations happening. And my friend says, my son's graduating, but I'm graduating from paying child support. So let's go to the strip club. And he's kind of like, once you're 35, like, club scene isn't really what it is. He says he kind of get tired of seeing the tiggle bitties coming out from the women. And there's a line that he says that I really like. He talks about how, like, he still posts this picture up on Instagram showing that he's having a great time. But he says this. He says, it looked good, but it was all lies like Firefest. And I just love that little jab at Ja Rule. It's a really good song. I'll talk more about their album later on, but Little Brother Sing Alone, just listen to it. Really good.
That's good. My number two, funny enough, he made my number one the previous year, but he's on my top five favorite songs list again, Tory Lanez.
Ooh.
And it's a song called Forever.
Okay.
And it's literally just him reminiscing, and it's a shout out, an honor kind of song to his ride or dies. It's basically just talking about ducking the law, making money, with his ride or dies, like, you guys are mine forever, like, type of thing. So, and he shows lyrical dexterity in the way how he speeds up the rap, slows down a little bit, but it's almost a hit for hit constantly. Not super fast, you can keep up with it, but he's aggressive with it. So
okay.
It's just, I like that. It's like that loyalty kind of concept. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Okay, perfect. All right, time for number one. This artist, for me, we've talked about a few times, and this is going to go to Rhapsody. Now, I even talked to Poppy about this. If she's number one, I know it will be a different song, most likely, because mine is actually Maya from Rhapsody. So one thing you got to learn about this album is that each song is named after either a fictional or non-fictional strong female person. And in this one, she talks about Maya DeAngelou. And more importantly, the theme about it is, I don't know if it's a book or if it's a thing, or poems, but it's called Caged Bird that Maya DeAngelou wrote. And so she kind of takes bits and pieces of that and talks about how she can't be a bird in a cage. Because the poem is called A Caged Bird. And they're saying, I can't be a bird in no cage. And it's interesting in this song because she also, like, she does references to, like, Luke Cage. And she does at least play on words, where she's like, that's the only time me and Cage are in a sense together, Cage Bird, and then she, you know, makes that connection. She mentions Jay-Z about it in the song too, his album 444. So it was just cool, like, just his little nods to not just female stuff, but just anyone who has either inspired her or helped her in some way. And it has like a lot of I know as old songs did this before, where the one that comes to me is from Eminem, where he's like, where's my snare? Like, I need more snare. And this one, he's like, I can't hear myself. You know, turn me up. They're doing the beginning with the guest artist. And just the whole, the way the song was put together, I really liked. And the little whistle melody, doo, 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 just really good. So, and I remember just listening to that just forever. And so I love that. So, yeah. So, Rhapsody, the song Maya, is my number one.
That's funny that you mentioned she might be my number one and maybe on tracks. And honestly, this year, no, she didn't end up being it.
Oh.
Close. I mean, I battled so much. This 2019 was a lot for me in a good way. And so she didn't make top five songs for me. Great songs, though. Check out her album. But number one for me, Gold Roses, Rick Ross featuring Drake.
Okay, and yeah. That one I was my second guess.
I don't know how to describe the song's beat other than it's slow, it thumps, and I want to say it's full of luxury, right? Like the song is called Gold Roses, and it's really just those two providing their perspective on lives right now. Because like Rick Ross says, love making love, but where will love land me? Like he's questioning everything in his life, but he's sitting here with all this money. And Drake does that in a similar context, just different. He sings, and that mashup is great. I mean, you got Ross has like the drawly, low hip-hop voice, and Drake has his like soothing vocals on the track. They both complement each other really, really well. And that came right after the Money in the Grave song, which is a song that Drake made because the Toronto Raptors won the championship. So he made this song with Rick Ross, and I'm pretty sure it's on Port of Miami too.
Is it? Okay.
Which is an album that Ross released in 19. And Gold Roses it was the song that I arguably played the most. And it's for that reason. It's slow. It hits hard with the bass. And they're just kind of talking about where they're currently at in life, where they've been, and what it means for them now, and kind of slightly looking forward.
It's funny because like if you mention Rick Ross and Drake in 2019, they're probably not think of that one. They're gonna think Money in the Grave because that's the one that charted high.
One charted high. It's a banger for sure.
It is.
Gold Roses is more up my alley.
No, and I completely agree with that. I was like, it has to be that one. I was like, I don't think he put Money in the Grave. I know you talked about it, but I was like, I don't think it had to be Gold Roses.
Yeah. Did you want to do any of the honorable mentions for songs? Or are you good?
The only one honorable mention I had. Was listening to it was Pusha T and it was The Games We Play.
Okay.
That came out in 2018, but I didn't listen to it till 2019. So that was the one I was like, The Game, and that one I was like debating on which one to put because I really like both of them, but I ended up going with The Game on that one. But yeah, Pusha T.
I have, I guess, two, and I know that you were gonna judge me for it because I mentioned it before. Pure Water by Migos and DJ Mustard,
Dude,
that song makes me want to dance still to this day, and it's been out for many, many months. And then Wish Wish by Cardi B actually it's technically a DJ Khaled song.
Yeah, I was like
featuring Cardi B and 21 Savage, and I have the whole song memorized because I love her delivery. And strangely enough, I think 21 Savage brought it. If they both had ghostwriters, good for them, because I think it really worked well in the song. And then at the end, I loved it because DJ Khaled, it was something, I don't know if it was on his Instagram or Snaps, I don't follow him anywhere, but his wife, I guess, sees his watch and she goes, what's that on your wrist? But he tweaks the sound so it sounds different.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I call it a chandelier. But like he sounds almost hickish, but he doesn't sound like that in the original video. I had to pull it up. But that's how the song ends. And then with his like bass and synths, and it's a good song. But
okay,
those two songs, lyrically trash if you really think about it, but they get me hype, so I'm about it.
Hey, if they get you hype, that's all good. No judgment here. But yeah, I said that's very, very different. So let's go to our top five albums. First one for me, number five, it goes to The Game. So it's Born to Rap. So this is a doozy of an album because it's 24 tracks. Yep. And to me, it was it's like a love letter to those people that inspired him and to basically 90s rap. And to Tupac, because he has his song West Side, which his delivery on it sounds like Tupac because he kind of makes his voice a little more raspy and it sounds like he's trying to imitate. And then his single Stainless is also really good. But that one also, it's a slower version of Tupac's song, Picture Me Rollin'. And then again, $500 Candles was great. And it was this love letter to 90s rap, and it really resonated with me. Even though I really do like it, I will say it kind of got a little bit tiresome to go through the entire album, just a little bit, because some songs just weren't up to par with the rest of the album. But I still would put that on repeat. So, yeah, the game Born to Rap is my number 5.
It's a pretty good one. Didn't make my top 5. I guess I'll just put that out there right now. But it is good. Number 5, this came out of left field. Again, this released in December, and I had a lot of time to kind of dissect the album. Please Forgive Me for Being Antisocial, Roddy Ricch.
Okay.
He's a new school rapper, and it's interesting. I don't think he has a distinct style. He has, like, these different pieces from multiple artists, so it's almost cliche. But it works for him because his album is really eclectic in terms of acoustics as well as what he speaks about. He talks about, like, current trends, and then he has, like, these somber, very, you mentioned earlier, ominous. I think that's a great word to kind of describe kind of the overwhelming, sad parts of some life. It has anywhere from the psychedelic synths all the way down to, like, a stripped guitar riff. Like, it's an interestingly eclectic album. So I couldn't help but really enjoy it because it was so different. Even though he sounds like a mesh of very different people and he doesn't specifically stand out himself, the entirety sound of the album, I thought, was well enough to stand on its own. So I'm interested to see what he brings in 2020 because he had, I think his biggest song is called The Box.
I think it's a huge song too.
And then, but my favorite song was The Stepper. That's the one that has a guitar in it.
Yeah.
Big Stepper, sorry. And then this, I have no other way to say it. I don't even know if it's a complete thought out album. It just sounds like a bunch of mixed things. He's kind of
like, yeah, let's try this.
But it works. I was able to listen to it from beginning to end, essentially, and enjoy the entirety of the album.
Okay.
I like it. It was unique. And I like to show love as well for new people. I know that we have mentioned before how many people hate the new style. I get that. But I think, as I've mentioned before, I like also giving props where it's due to definitely some of the new artists. That album is very, very unique, so I'm going to have to put it number 5 for me.
Okay, that's good. For me, number 4, this goes to Dreamville. So Revenge of the Dreamers, Part 3. So the year before I got introduced, I still don't know if his name is Bass or Boss. I think it was Bass because it's just B-A-S. Because he was my number 1 previous. And so I don't know if he's part of Dreamville or not, but I guess because he just looks like he's featured, but... So he's on there. We have like the baby on there, and all these other guys that J. Cole rolls with. And you have good songs like Under the Sun. You got, I guess, Middle Child. You have Costa Rica, I like it because each song sounds unique. It's not like this is J. Cole's, like, his project. Like, he has his hand in each song. It's like, no, he gave, like, you're gonna write the song and do it yourself. So you have all these different varieties in each song, and even with the singles, so again with Under the Sun, Middle Child, obviously being very J. Cole-ish, but Costa Rica is very different. So that album just really good if you want to just hear different variations, hear different styles, but all be like kind of under J. Cole's like direction. I'm not exactly sure how to define it, but yeah, I liked it because it just was very different.
It was a good medley, and I think he was showing his mentorship abilities.
Yeah.
Letting the other people shine, because Cole didn't have a solo album. He didn't have any solo work, so to speak, as a generic album. He just had that, and that is not a solo album. It's a collaboration album.
And he only had the Middle Child that it was just him, because no one else was featured on that one. But again, it's part of the album, Revenge of the Dreamers, Part 3.
Yep. Number 4 for me, album... I have to give it to Kanye's Jesus is King. I'm sorry. I had to. It was his redemption for me from my, like, I hated Ye so much. I needed a new album. And his former album prior to this one was called Ye, for those that didn't know. I needed something personally as a fan of his to redeem him from.
It was a win.
It was such a big win. A great comeback. Not to mention that, honestly, he had a cultural impact with his little Sunday service thing that he used to promote it. And it showed a different light of him. I mean, all we knew was the cocky, arrogant, full of himself, blasphemous Kanye. And here he comes. He flips it 180 degrees. And to me, he pulled it off. I've talked about it before, so I won't speak too much on the album, but it definitely hit number 4 for me.
Okay. That sounds good. Number 3, this is kind of it's 2 albums, basically, but it's from DaBaby. Because DaBaby actually released 2 albums. So he came out with Baby on Baby and Kirk.
Yep.
Within months of each other. I think like 3 or 4 months. So like the first one had like Suge, and then the second one had, which is Kirk, I believe. which had started with intro and then had bop on it. And again, like, I did not like DaBaby when he first came out. But he just grew on me. Like, he wasn't just rapping, but he was performing. And he really showed his chops on Saturday Night Live when I saw him perform there, when he performed bop. And he just has that charisma.
He enjoys being an entertainer.
Yeah. He has a charisma, and you gravitate to him whenever you hear him. That's how I feel. And so those two albums were solid. So yeah, number three, DaBaby, Kirk, and Baby on Baby.
Number three for me, Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs. And this is an artist named St. John. I talked about him, I think, mid last year. But in contrast to Roddy Ricch, I think this guy has a very good sense of self. He has an identity. He sings melodically along with like some aggressive rapping. And I know that you and I have both talked about, we think Drake is the best to ever do that mix. Mm-hmm. I still stand to that. But St. John does it so uniquely, and it comes across in Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs is interesting because he talks about ghetto love. So it's not necessarily just heartbreak, which he does talk about. He has a song dedicated to wanting a yacht. All I want is a yacht. And that's part of his love song. It's very uniquely done. And I would say that the imitation on his album, kind of like Roddy Ricch, but instead of being his style, it's the production style that's imitating many other current styles right now. The uniqueness comes in from how he delivers it. His voice, his cadence, his melodies. And again, he kind of won my brother over. My brother actually likes that album. That's kind of a tough thing to do, but a lot of people, I've introduced that album to them, and they are like, this is actually really unique. They really like it. It stands out. So that's my number three.
Okay, nice. So number two, I actually just switched this because I was like, no, I think I like my number two as number one. So this goes to Rhapsody, number two, Eve.
Say right now, that's my number two as well.
Okay.
I battled between putting this one at number one and number two, but funny enough that it lands it. I guess this is the one that matches up for us. Number two for me as well.
So let's talk about this then too. Like, so this album, again, she changed a lot of things that she did previous. And it just worked. Everything just worked. She did this, I said this before, she did like this slam poetry type of feel in all of her songs. She named them after fictional, non-fictional characters that inspired her. The most of them are female. She had tons of people that collaborated with her on this, and it just won me over.
She makes a stance on many different things, and I know a lot of people, given the whole feminist movement, really thought that it was a feminist promote, like, which it in some parts, yes. That doesn't bother me one bit, quite frankly, and she mentioned more. She essentially was talking about bringing back traditional concept of hip-hop, and it's just speaking for the people and talking about standing on your own two feet, and not just like as a person, but even as a musical artist, so that the labels don't take over you. She mentioned Jay-Z in her song Maya, and she mentions him in actually multiple songs because he helped found her. So she respects a lot, and she mentions it on the album. Him, Dr. Dre, and I can't remember the third one, unfortunately, but Dr. Dre and Jay are the two people that she openly respects on the album. But it's a breath of fresh air as far as lyricism goes. She definitely has it. The one thing I've talked to you about, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast before, is she needs to find ways to change up her style in delivery, mm-hmm. I think, to stay relevant. That album, though, as years go by, I will continue to listen to it and see how far up it goes. I would not be surprised if it stands the test of time for my personal preference and lands top 50.
It could.
I thought it was that lyrically powerful.
It was. But yeah, like you said, to for her to still continue to grow, her flow, the way that she structured her songs is very old. And, I mean, to some people, like, older hip-hop people might like it, but newer ones, they're not going to gravitate to that too much. And so, if she changes it again a little bit and be more contemporary or more to this a little bit, like you said, you don't have to change completely, but I think that way she'll stay more and we'll just be able to continue. She'll get the exposure that she deserves.
That's what I want. I like the style, don't get me wrong. I mean,
no,
Styles P has had his same style since I was a kid, but Styles P has been so long in the game, and he's not gonna be more known than he already is, right? I think she has an ability that needs to be a bit more showcased, mm-hmm. given what her content is. So I would like her to kind of evolve a little bit so that other people are willing to listen to her because her delivery is very monotonous.
Yeah,
I guess
I would
be the best word I could use.
Okay,
but yeah, number two, fantastic mm-hmm. album.
So number one, this goes to Little Brother, and the album's called May the Lord Watch. I always say that wrong. This one's an interesting album because they did this whole album as if you're watching TV. So they have this fake network called UBN, and it's like You Black Network is what it's called. And so in the beginning of some songs and the end of some songs, they're like, you're watching UBN, and then they have like little skits like coming this fall, like a man did blackface and now he's trying to come back from that, and it's called like Whitewash. Like it was just funny the way that they put it together. I enjoyed. Because it wasn't just the songs. It was these little skits they put in there that made me imagine watching TV. But, again, all their songs were fantastic. And Sing Alone just is one that always, I'm always listening to. But I would suggest listening to that one. Again, it's very interesting because I haven't seen something like this in a while where they take like not necessarily a theme, but they do it around an idea. Where it's this network that you're supposedly fake network you're listening to. And so I really loved it, and I just kept listening to it on and on and on. So, yeah, that's my number one album.
I've heard a couple songs for that album, but I honestly have not listened to that entire album, so I'm going to have to check that out. My number one, again, after battling with the concept of Eve from Rhapsody, now I feel very confident and willing to put it up there, is Her Story in the Making by Young M.A. And Young M.A., just that album is so amazing to me because she's New York again, that whole New York style. I'm biased, okay?
Yeah,
she's very gritty, in your face bully type, which she has a lot of those songs, and I love it. Her delivery is like relaxed but aggressive. However, on that song she talks about her brother's murder and how her depression kicks in and substance abuse and her depression just kind of overtaking her and how she got out of it, because let's not forget she had that one mega hit song Ooh back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of on a hiatus and comes back with an album like this. I couldn't help but think that she brought back, not that it really went anywhere, but I mean, in my perception, she put it back on the map, that gritty New York style, just like, you know, raw street style hood, not gangster, just streets, hustling type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And her delivery, her cadence, and even the production quality. She has like the bangers, the producers that are from New York. They just a very well put together album. And she has Car Confessions on there where it literally is sounding like someone who's just driving and thinking out their thoughts of like where their current state of life is. And again, she talks very specifically about personal things. And if you like those, it really showcases on her with, she was close to her brother. She's lesbian. That's something she talks about as well. Right. And it's almost her using this album as a cathartic experience and sharing it to the people. It's very unique. I'm not saying other artists haven't done this before. That's a very common thing, but it's more personal, I think, than other artists would have ever allowed it to be.
She's interesting just herself. Like the,
I am such a fan.
Yeah, like I said, it's more your style, not necessarily mine, but I've been starting to listen to her. I'm like, dang, like I understand why Poppy's like just loving what she's putting out right now. So yeah. The good ones. Okay, so in our final category. So this is the top five artists that we're gonna have for 2019. So this one's actually, this is low because she's been up top. But number five for me is gonna be Rhapsody. I don't think that I have to say too much about her. Again, she came out with her album and just been steamrolling, at least for me. And I think she just had a great year. She's had the year that she deserves. So and she's number five.
Number five for me, strangely enough, I'm actually going to put Meek Mill on there.
Ooh,
his album, Championships, came out late 2018, which it had obviously some attention, but it really didn't gain traction until 2019. He rode that wave. He rode it hard. Good on him. He had many songs like What's Free with Jay-Z and Rick Ross, which talks about, you know, basically black inequality. He had a song with Anuel, who's a Puerto Rican reggaeton artist. And Fabulous is on that track, too. Yeah. And it's like, bam, 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 bam. It's like the Spanish tone to it with rap. It was a really good in-your-face album. And let's not forget his biggest hit, Going Back, is that that's going bad. Sorry, not going back. Bad. Going bad mm-hmm. with Drake. Obviously a club banger for many reasons. It's Drake. Naturally, it's probably going to play in the club.
Right.
And Meek Mill brought his own too. So he had, a very solid 2019 year, not to mention the whole prison reform stuff that he stood mm-hmm. for. So for that reason, I think he earned the spot number five for me.
Okay, nice. Number four is also a good rapper that didn't make any of my other lists, but she just did good was Lizzo. So Lizzo,
ugh.
I know you don't like her. I have to give her props for like what she and I'm not her songs aren't like way great.
I mean, she's big in more ways than one.
Yeah,
she did fine. She did have a good year.
She did have a good year. She had the song "Truth Hurts" that made her big, and that was still big. I think the better song was "Feeling Good as Hell." I think that was a way better song. And she had another two other songs that didn't chart too well, but were better than the "Truth Hurts" one. She did have that one controversy though, but I think gave her more attention about possibly taking the first line about like taking the DNA test.
As yeah, we talked the, about it. The, what's it called? Copyright or whatever.
Yeah, it's, the copyright thing was that other group, but. It didn't affect her too much. I think it only helped her.
She had a solid year. I cannot deny her a success. I'm just not a fan. If you like her, great. Not me. But yeah. I can see I
know,
why you
that's
would
what I was
her.
Like. I was like, oh, I know what Poppy's gonna say.
I don't want to do ties, but it was too difficult for me. I have two ties in the number four and the number three respectively. But this is strictly number four. I'm gonna go 4A and 4B. I'm gonna go with Kanye West and Rhapsody. We already spoke on it, I won't do more, but huge years for those two.
My number three is Kanye West. This is the funny thing. Okay, so I gave you my opinions about Jesus is King, and I was just not having. And Bobby was like, "You gotta listen to it again." I was like, "Fine, I will listen to it again just because you're saying it." The second and third time hearing it again, it wasn't that bad, and it actually started getting better. It's still not way up there, but I have to keep thinking about Kanye. It's like, well, look at what he did. All these like. He's a very extremist, as the way I like to put it. And so he did a lot of extreme things for the album. Like, that whole abstinence stand that he had for his people working on the album. I was like, that's weird. But then again, he did those Sunday services to promote the album. And he also did it here in Utah, where you have a huge Mormon-based people during the time that a lot of LDS people are here for a conference. And he held it there. And so tons of people came. So it's
thousands.
Chaotic. Yeah. And... I mean, I can't deny that. That guy just was working hard, and he deserves to...
My biggest thing for him is really, like, going back to how arrogant and proud he was, that album, he essentially talks about swallowing his pride. Yeah. That's the hardest thing Kanye had to do, swallow his own pride.
Yeah, it's a very un-Kanye thing to do.
And that's why I gave it to him.
That's why I put him as number three. I was like, you know what? He did really good. I can't... Like I said, Jesus King's not going to make any top of mine, but I appreciate it more looking back on it, not just on what the content was, but again, his production is always great, but I just had to reflect on it, and so I enjoyed it more. So nice. I'll give you thanks for that,
no,
Bobby.
I liked it. You don't have to like it, but I like it.
So he's number three.
Number three for me would be, if I want to do a tie, if not, I'll just give the tiebreaker to Summer Walker. She is a R&B artist, and I feel like I've guaranteed mentioned it on the podcast before. R&B to me, unless it was early 2000s or before, I'm not a fan of it now. It sounds weird. It's awful. It's corny. Summer Walker was able to put me back on it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going to have to venture out and find some more R&B artist, but she has some great music. I love her voice. She had guest artists like Usher on, and it made the song very unique because they sample one of You Remind Me a little bit, just a small amount in it, and it's just it was nice to listen to R&B again and really enjoy it the way I used to.
Yeah,
like it was romantic naturally, as R&B has to be, but it wasn't like super overly corny sexual to where I'm like, yeah, this is kind of weird. I don't want to listen to about your body parts. Just kind of talk about how your romance or infatuated with them. She does that lovely, and she hooked me back on R&B.
Okay. My number two is actually Rick Ross. Rick Ross has always been, and he's always had like, I guess I've always been more thinking about it negatively, just on like, because he's had a lot of controversial stuff that he has said on his songs, and the way that he tried to back it up or try to clarify, like, what are you talking about, Rick? But this year, he's just good. Like, I really, you said so much about him, I really can't add too much to it. But yeah, he's number two for me.
Yeah, number two for me was DaBaby. He had a very prolific year, rightfully so. Two albums that did very well. I actually think some of his other songs from 2018 carried over well into 2019 as well. I mean, the man had a massive success, blew up, all for the right reasons, charismatic. He knows how to put on a show. You already said a lot of good things about him too, so I'll back off, but he definitely had an excellent 2019.
And he's actually my number one.
He's a marketing genius.
He knows how to put himself out there. He just so many great things. Like, he's just very, again, I can only say he's very charismatic, and it just, people gravitate to that. It might seem that he's cocky, and he is, but I gotta say, for whatever, it's that smile, he like gets you. It's like, what? I'm like, oh.
Comes with the territory.
Yeah. But 2020 is a whole different issue, because he got arrested, and I think he's still battling, but he's still like,
he's not worried about it. Yeah, he's walking around.
And he's not worried about it anyway, so, but he didn't start it very well with that. But yeah, my number one's DaBaby.
After careful speculation and much deliberation on my part, Young M.A. takes number one for me. Like, it just, you can ask DJ Goose. There was every time we were hanging out, I would somehow find a way to play a Young M.A. song from her album. And she had two singles also released this year, but just special, very special. I'm glad she's in it. She's not just good for New York. She's not just a good female rapper. She is just a complete rapper, a excellent rapper. So I look forward to hopefully seeing some good things from her out of 2020.
I will say the thing I like about her is a lot of female rappers, I mean, regardless of sexual orientation, but a lot of female rappers feel like they have to be overly sexual in like videos and all this stuff to do it. And she doesn't. Whether or not she could, that's not even relevant. It's just that she just comes with the delivery, like, this is my style, this is how I am, and like, that's how I'm gonna win you over, and that's what she's done. So she's done amazing.
Yep, braggadocio, just out to get her money. She said accidentally got famous, but I got rich on purpose type of thing. Like, she was after her money, she got her bag, and just a great year, and I'm looking forward to this year, seeing what artists come out. And let's now, in retrospect, look at what 2019 was absent of. So it was absent of our typical four heavy hitters. Three of them, if you mentioned, like, the big three, you've compared them to anime before: Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick. Now, again, J. Cole did have the collaboration album. That is not a solo work.
Nope.
His solo work, you know, is going to gain a lot more popularity and hype behind it for obvious reasons. Kendrick is massive in his own right. Do they all have something released in 2019? Yes, but nothing big like an album. Jay-Z didn't have one either. So Drake, Jay-Z, J. Cole, and Kendrick didn't have anything drop in 2019. I want to say Jay-Z's due for one. Drake is due for one. Kendrick is due for one. And I'm going to go with J. Cole's going to release one as well. I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting what they're going to do, because a thing that's been happening now, and I think that they might do, is just these shadow drop albums. I mean, Eminem did it twice. He did it last year, and then this year he did just a shadow drop, and people were talking about it. So are they going to do that? They might. I don't know. I don't know if they just want
to
follow that.
They're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, not have to. They don't have to. But these artists are so prolific that it would cause just an immense amount of stir. And I like Eminem. He is definitely in my top favorite rappers, but he does not carry the same relevance that the other four that we've mentioned do. And I'm not taking away anything from any of the artists we mentioned. I think that they definitely capitalized, hopefully, on the absence of those four, right?
Yeah.
Because if those four, any of them drop something, an insane amount of attention is given to them, rightfully so, an insane amount of props is given to them, debatable depending on what they're dropping, but the amount of fans those four can just absorb and take attention away from anyone, so good on these artists. I think that definitely intentionally or unintentionally capitalized on the absence of them. They made the best of it, and I think it was still a good 2019 despite not seeing anything from those four.
I think it's gonna be interesting to see how they, how the people who were able to gain success this year stack up to those four. Are they gonna be the same? Were people just waiting for something from Kendrick? And they're like, well, this person will have to do for now for X and Y reason. So
that's why it was important for me. Rhapsody needs to find some eclecticness to her style, because she does not, I don't think she has the staying power otherwise if she doesn't. DaBaby, he knows how to market. He truly is a marketing genius. He'll find a way to stay relevant. Young MA just does her own thing, so the fans go looking for her. That's kind of her MO.
Like I said, she doesn't really care about being
She just wants to make enough. So naturally, she'll just have her followers come to her. So she'll be successful in that route. But Rhapsody, I think she's so unique that she has to sell you on her. She sold me on her, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, that's it for all our lists. Before we go, though, I did remember to think of a song to mention. I don't know if you did. I'm pretty sure you did, actually.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure there's a few that you could pick from. The one that I, that mine is from Royce 5'9", and the song's called Thou Shall, and it's featuring Kid Vicious. I'm not exactly sure how to say his name. But it's a really cool song. It has an eerie, echoey, yellow melody that plays on the back. And that one's just really good. Not really much to say about that.
I'm trying to look at the name of it, but it's a Tory Lanez song, funny enough. And he has another guy with him that I've never heard of before. Like 50-something. Hold on. Let me look it up. Oh, K-Lo-K. So the letter K, space L-O-K, and it's Fivio Foreign. And
what the freak?
It has a unique beat. Just like this little piano riff. And the, for whatever reason, I think it just caught me off guard because I was cleaning while I was listening to it. And then Tory Lanez just goes, give me the trap. Like he doesn't say key to the trap. He adds a rolling R. Give me the trap. And I'm like, oh, for whatever reason, that caught my attention. And now I like the song.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. So let us know what your top five song, album, artist were. They might be completely different. Or tell us why they shouldn't be on our top five. I would love to hear
tell
why.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah. Tell them why Kanye West should not be on his top anything. Or on mine, too. Because I was also like, why is he there?
Tell him why Lizzo does not deserve to be mentioned on this podcast. I'm kidding. That's so much hate. And I don't hate her like that.
You can, though. Tell me your opinion. I don't care. So, yeah. Let us know. And yeah, that's it for this episode. This is DJ Goose
and Bobby,
and this is Hip Hop Soiree.